Get ready. You're about to enter the Renzo Republic.
Gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the one, the only Remso Republic. I'm your host, as always, Remso W. Martinez. Welcome back, and for all those new listeners out there, welcome! You've chosen probably one of the coolest episodes I could think of to start out with this season. In case this is actually your very first episode, the great thing about this is you don't necessarily need to go back and listen to the last couple to understand where we are, because I'll go ahead and explain that for you. Recently, I've kind of embarked on my annual tradition. I do a few things every year. I'll go back to certain locations. I'll try and touch bases with friends that I may have lost, you know, lost contact with. All, you know, simple stuff like that. But something I do every once in a while, well, I'm sorry, something I do once a year is that I'll pull out my copy of The Fountainhead, all torn up and faded and dog-eared and annotated and everything. And I go through that. Now, it's kind of a, you know, beast of a book, nothing compared to Atlas Shrugged or anything else like that, but it's one of my favorites. I read it the first time when I was a sophomore in high school. I read it again when I was a freshman in college, and then around my junior year of college, I said, every year I'm going to read it. And right now, I'm about halfway through it right now, going for the third go-around, and it's like I'm just reading it all over again. But while the feeling of the book, you know, may stay the same, the location is a little bit different. I'm still at Liberty University, as some of you might know. And this is kind of a weird place to be an Ayn Rand fan. I was in the law school where they placed the Helm School of Government. And I was sitting on this couch reading it in between classes. And I had several people come up to me. And this is the, you know, it's the classic two type of people you're going to get come up to you when they see that you're reading Ayn Rand. They're either going to love her or, like you probably guessed, they're going to hate her. And the one person I had come up to me said, oh my gosh, The Fountainhead, I love it. I read it when I was in high school. It's one of my favorite books. And then, like a typical very good Liberty student, another person came up to me and they're like, Ayn Rand, she's an atheist. You're going to hell. Yeah, thanks, bud. Yeah, for those of you that may be wondering, Remso, when did you laugh like that? I actually want to have a little conversation about that. So I brought on somebody who's probably a bigger Ayn Rand fan than myself. She's the CEO of the Atlas Society. Ladies and gentlemen, Jennifer Grossman. Jennifer, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I love that story.
Yeah, it's a common thing here, because what I try and do is, instead of keeping my copy in my backpack, I kind of just hold it underneath my arm to see what type of looks I get from people. And it's still the same. Either people smile or they look at me and they're like, what the hell are you doing? You might as well be walking around with like a satanic Bible or something. And it's really insane that people have this idea that if you're a Christian, you can't possibly read Ayn Rand. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yes, I agree with that. And I actually feel that part of that myth, part of that whole line of argument didn't come out of the right, didn't come out of conservative circles, of course, though William Buckley didn't and Whitaker Chambers didn't help matters. But I honestly feel, not that I'm any kind of conspiracy theorist, but I believe that the people that are most threatened by Ayn Rand's ideas are liberals, collectivists, progressivists, however they want to rebrand themselves. They know that the drama, the romance of Ayn Rand is a very seductive gateway for people learning more about Adam Smith, Milton Friedman, Friedrich Hayek, the founding fathers. It usually goes that way, that people start with Ayn Rand and then they go on to Hayek or Friedman or Smith, not the other way around. People don't like read Adam Smith, Wealth of Nations, and say, oh my God, I got to know more. I'm going to go read Ayn Rand. No, they start with the storytelling, which was what she was such a master of as a novelist. And so it's effective. It has historically been a very effective gateway for people to more ideas. And if you find these ideas threatening, you want to try to figure out, we got to shut down that gateway. That's strategic. There are people coming in through that portal. We want to keep them out there in the darkness, in the ignorance, where all they have are the kinds of answers that we have to tell them. So how are we going to do that? Where are we? What's the situation on the ground? And they know we live in a religious country. And they know that if they can say, ooh, dangerous book, don't read that, she's an atheist, that's about one of the most powerful arguments that they have. But it's not because they want to save your soul. It's because they want to save their jobs. And the jobs are dependent on convincing you that you owe them something, that you don't own your life. And so that's why they don't want people reading the books. And so when I have my Christian, paleo, conservative friends, whatever, and they say, oh, but Ayn Rand, isn't that, you know, it's an atheist. And I say, don't fall for it. That's exactly what they want you to do. Don't fall for it. That's their plot. That's their script. And by the way, I feel you can, you know, as I argued in my Wall Street Journal op-ed, there's plenty of believers, religionists, Christians, Jews, they read the book and they take away different things. It's not usually that atheism. And I would challenge anyone who comes forward and says, oh, it's an atheist book. You know, did you read it? Or did you just read what somebody else wrote about it? Read it. And then let's have a conversation.
Exactly.
And guess what?
What?
If your faith is strong and if you're right, then you have nothing to fear. If your faith is weak, then you're making something to learn.
Yeah, and I think the problem with a lot of my Christian friends is that, you know, and I'm not calling anyone out, and this is just a speculation, but the thing that I have a problem with when it comes to a lot of evangelical young people is that they're afraid to challenge their worldviews. And I think a lot of their mentors, I think a lot of professors, I think a lot of faith leaders, I think, you know, they throw out that argument of, oh, because she's this, you can't do that. Or because of B, you can't do C, without giving you the actual reason. Because if people actually went out and tried to understand what other worldviews were, we'd actually be able to have intelligent, productive conversations. And it's because of this whole, oh, well, one minute you're doing this, the next minute, oh, you're going to be, I don't know, doing something else. People are so afraid to challenge themselves because they're afraid to go out and see what other things are, because they're afraid they might be tempted. You know, I was, you know, when I read Atlas Shrugged in high school, before I read The Fountainhead, when I read that, you know, I wasn't necessarily a very staunch evangelical Christian. I was not necessarily a person that was really into religion. I wasn't really a person that was really into, you know, faith and things like that. So for me, it wasn't necessarily that I was doing it simply to combat my own worldview. I had no worldview. And going into Ayn Rand, I actually think that she made me, you know, she really affected how I think and what I think about and how I go out about my life. Because what she did was she forced me to actually confront my own worldviews. She made me confront things that I didn't have a stance on. And things that I did have a stance on, she made me reevaluate it. And most of the time, I agreed with her. On other things, I didn't. But overall, I think I'm a better person because of Ayn Rand, and I'm no less of a Christian than others because I choose to read not just one of her books, not just two of her books, but I've read almost all her books and nonfiction pieces. I mean, it's people are afraid of challenging themselves.
Beautifully, beautifully put and well said. And I think that one of the things that anybody can take away from Ayn Rand, and including liberals who love her book, is the commitment to reason. And is the commitment to critical thinking, and is the commitment to independent thought. And yet I will tell you, my friend, that this failure, this foible of being afraid to challenge one's own views, of wanting to just blindly follow what is the handed down wisdom, is unfortunately a plague that affects even objectivists themselves. That they only want to listen to or hear what they've been taught or what they've heard secondhand, and they don't want to go back and think critically. But that's why, again, I say that if we are right, we have nothing to fear, and if we're wrong, we have something to learn. And I believe that one of the reasons Ayn Rand resonates so much in this country is because she wanted to promote a world in which there would be a diversity of views. That's why freedom is so important. That's why we have freedom of religion. That's why we have freedom of speech. And, you know, what a shame if we don't take advantage of these freedoms that our founders and so many of our vessels. And by the way, you know, it's not a package deal. If we went back and examined every nit and foible of some of our founding fathers, you know, we'd probably find a few things that were pretty objectionable. But that doesn't mean we can't take away a lot of good, or that they didn't leave us with documents that are essential to our.
Exactly. Jennifer, we're going to keep this conversation going, but first we're going to go ahead and hit our first commercial break. Folks, hang on tight. You're listening to the REMSA Republic. We'll be right back in a moment.
The voice of the Liberty Generation. Remzo W. Martinez.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Remzo Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
Hey everyone, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is Liberty. Each week we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty, rock and roll.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
Hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with the hooker.
Them yelling at you.
Them yelling at me at Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This what? Large lady with, like, tight clothing on. Not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
You pulled over, engine trouble, and what happened? I don't know.
Seriously, though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing, and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's PreussPodcast.com.
Make sure to visit LibertarianWingMedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want, when you want. Just email alexmerced@alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
Folks, welcome back to the show. We're going to kind of pivot our conversation at this point. Jennifer, one thing I love about what you and the Atlas Society are doing is that you're actually making Ayn Rand fun again. And I say this from a person that remembers what the early days of social media were like, where you have your libertarians and objectivists on one side, and they're arguing about white papers, and they're arguing about, you know, long, complicated theories you have to go spend hours on Wikipedia trying to figure out. But what you and the Atlas Society have done is you've made it fun. You've made it engaging, whether it's your your projects or the contests that people can enter, the motion comics and Trivia Tuesday you guys do. You're making it fun again. Is that your strategy?
That is absolutely my strategy. How did you know? How did you find me out? No, that is my strategy. And do you know where it derives from?
Where?
It derives from Ayn Rand. We just put up in not this previous Tuesday trivia, but the one before, in which there was a wonderful quote that it said, "Can't you enjoy useless things merely because they're beautiful?" And it was by Kira in We the Living. And I had that was being a little impish. I was having a little bit of fun because some of the things that we're putting out, they are comic. They are funny. They are edgy. Okay. And objectivists and some libertarians, my Lord, they're so serious. Sometimes I think they're depressed. And I'll put out some fun things every once in a while, and people will say, oh, this is trivial. Oh, this is just, you know, shows no respect. How dare you? We should be doing more of the same stuff that has completely run us into the ditch. And I said, you know, it's supposed to be fun. Life is, we're supposed to enjoy ourselves. We're supposed to enjoy ourselves. And I also, Ayn Rand said, A is A. She said, reality exists. And, if you want to command reality, you must obey it. So you look around and you see, first of all, who do I want to talk to? I want to talk to everybody. I want to talk to religious people, atheists, liberals, conservatives. I want to talk to objectivists. I want to talk to true believers. But the people that I really, really want to talk to are those lucky people that have the adventure of Ayn Rand yet before them. And those people are usually younger. Okay, what language are they speaking? Are they speaking Martian? Are they speaking French? Are they speaking Latin? Where are they talking to each other? How are they talking? Well, they're on Instagram. They are looking at graphic novels. They are doing Draw My Life videos. Jenna Marbles, most hip, most popular woman on YouTube. She's doing Draw My Life. Celebrities doing Draw My Life. All right, that's your language. That's where they're talking. That's where I'm going. Come with me.
Exactly. It's so much fun because that's the thing that a lot of my really non-political friends constantly try and remind me. They're like, you know what? It seems interesting sometimes, but it's just so dark and gloomy. Doing this, actually speaking the common language of people, that's how ideas go. That's how people actually engage with the content. Because that's something that, you know, like you said, some people still don't get. And I've been in environments like that where it's like, you know, why are we pushing out like 13 million white papers that maybe two or three people will read and no one necessarily gets interested about, when you could just put up a funny video that explains the exact same purpose you want to fulfill in layman's terms, and it can reach millions of people. You're getting the same purpose accomplished, but you're doing it in a way that's effective. And I don't know whether it's because people are afraid of effectiveness, I don't know if it's because of that they're just stuck in their old ways, or if it's because they genuinely think that doing the exact same thing over and over and over again, regardless of the amount of times you failed, is going to work. Because after all, that's insanity.
Yes, that's true. That was the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again. So, but, you know, it also means taking risks, and we are taking some pretty wild risks. And look, you know, I'm not a stranger to the fact that I've got a controversial product here. Ayn Rand is, as you know, love her and or hate her. And so I'm comfortable with controversy, and I'm comfortable putting things out there that some people are going to like and some people are not going to like. But because we live in such a shield, we have to say, okay, well, that worked. That didn't work so well. Draw My Life that we did, the Ayn Rand Draw My Life with my horrible Russian accent, it worked. People liked it. We got 1.1 million views on YouTube. We're still trying to go through our 11,000 shares and thank people. And by the time that this podcast is out, we will have two more Draw My Lives that will be out. The Hank Reardon Draw My Life is going to be on Ayn Rand's birthday. And then a Dagny Taggart Draw My Life is coming out on Valentine's Day for Dagny. And then we're going to do a graphic novel. We're going to do a graphic novel of Anthem. And we are open for other ideas.
Jennifer, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. But before we do that, we're going to go ahead and hit our final commercial break. Folks, hang on tight. The show's not over yet. We'll be back in a moment.
We'll be back shortly.
Stay up to date with the latest news and updates by visiting
RemzoRepublic.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, such as the Alex Mercedcast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Comments is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcast and Logging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to libertarianwingmedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the final segment. But before I kind of wrap things up, Jennifer, you know, I saw that cosplay interview you did with Jeffrey Tucker, and that was that was hilarious in a good way. In a good way. I mean, it's like what we've been constantly bringing up so far. We need to find fun ways to push these ideas out there. And I'm just curious, whose idea was it to do that? Was it yours or was it Jeffrey's?
It was definitely my idea. It definitely was my idea. Well, actually, I will say even more so, it is my friend Jim Pinkerton's idea. So Jim and I worked together in the Bush 41 administration, and he saw the first Ayn Rand Draw My Life video that I did, where I was just, you know, I was narrating and I was drawing it, but I wasn't on camera. And he said, you know, you got to go all the way with it. And I said, I'll do it. And so I started, you know, practicing and worked with a speech coach. And then, you know, I've known Jeffrey for years, and he really admires Ayn Rand and really appreciates, not an objectivist, but appreciates her tremendous contributions to the canons of liberty. And of course, goes way back with Rothbard and that whole history. And so I called him up and like, hey, Jeffrey, will you do this? Sure, that sounds like fun. And then I'm boom, 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 call Newsmax, get it all set up, get him a ticket. And then he shows up and he's like, what have I agreed to do? He was like, this is great. When can we do it again? And I said, well, we will do it again, but we're not going to do it again for 45 minutes. Oh, my God. I was like, I started out with a bad Russian accent. I think I ended up sounding like a Pakistani or something. But it was fun. It would be more fun to do with more questions and live interaction. Actually, at Freedom Fest, which I hope you will be there, we are going to be doing on the first day, that Wednesday, the Atlas Summit. But it's going to be a little different. It's not going to be a three-day thing. It's going to be afternoon, kind of Objectivism 101 boot camp in conjunction with Turning Point, and I hope SFL as well. And then later on, during Freedom Fest, Mark Skousen and I will be doing a mock debate. Now, his whole thing is dressing up as Ben Franklin. So it will be Ayn Rand and Ben Franklin. Wow. So that'll be interesting.
That's like one of those epic rap battles of history or something right there. We'll have never thought of putting those two toe-to-toe against each other. Oh, my Lord. So I know you've got to get going soon, so I just kind of want to leave the floor to you. What's the biggest message you want our listeners to carry home with tonight? The biggest thing you want them to remember at the end?
I want them, if they haven't gone out, to go and read Ayn Rand. If they have already read Ayn Rand, then read it again. We have reading groups going on. I myself will be doing a reading group of We the Living. David Kelly is doing a reading group of Atlas Shrugged. Our artist in residence, Michael Newberry, is doing a reading group of the Romantic Manifesto. Read it, criticize it, come join us on the Atlas Society Facebook page and Instagram. Think for yourself. And then let me know. Let me know what you think. And particularly with this issue of religion and people's Christian and Jewish faith and enjoying Ayn Rand, we hit a tremendous nerve. And I think that there's so much more there to discuss. So I really would welcome others to explore and then come to join us and continue the journey.
Perfect. Jennifer, thank you so much for coming on the program. It was an absolute blast having you on.
I loved it. Thank you.
Not a problem. Folks, you heard her. Go out and get a copy of Fountainhead. Go read Anthem. Go, you know, spend an entire summer in a cabin somewhere reading all of Atlas Shrugged and just devour it up. Because whether or not you love her or hate her, if you don't read her, you don't know her. And as always, subscribe to the show, leave us a rating and a review on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, we're everywhere. And if you can't find the app or platform of your choice, go ahead to RemsoRepublic.com.
And the Self-Defense Radio Network.
And check it out for yourself and find something that works for you. As always, I'm Remso W. Martinez. Be good to your neighbor, think for yourself, and I'll see you next week. Take care.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?